The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Ryan Tuberty Show, minus the Tuberty man himself. It's Oliver Callan here in for the rest of this week until he returns himself next Monday. I hope everyone had a great bank holiday break, whether you were ensconced in a nice hotel or a B&B or a glamping someplace, or you went to the beach or a freshly opened beer garden, or you indulged in some recreational public disorder. Let's hope you got whatever you deserved accordingly. And the weather behaved itself and continues to do so. I had that lovely hot day tiredness, you know, like a child in the backseat of a car coming home from the beach feeling. It's all very nice. So welcome to the morning of June the 7th. We're on now. The text is 51551 and the email is ryan@rte.ie. By the way, I actually was talking to someone who is working in hospitality in Dublin, and they said the atmosphere in Dublin yesterday was lovely. It was peaceful. It was calm, hopeful, gently joyful. And also the staff in the hotels and bars, the hotel bars and restaurants around the place are having a very nice time. People are very appreciative and notice the waiting staff and are all very nice, and they're passing the good mood on to those who work. So a nice thought. And a new era of outdoor dining and imbibing has begun. As you can see, and it's in all the papers today, and well may it continue, and it could become a summer habit of ours, beyond the indoor openings even. Rona McGreevy of the Irish Times has a gorgeous picture of Ging's in Carrick-on-Shannon. He says it's the best beer garden in Ireland, and it's hard to argue because it's literally on the banks of the Shannon, and people are under the umbrellas, they're on benches. And it's just a very nice feeling around the place, and it just looks very inviting, and it's great. Michael O'Regan, who is formerly of the Irish Times, he said, did anyone ever think that coffee and a sandwich outdoors on a bank holiday would be such a treat? Roll on, indoor dining and return to normal living, says he. Yes, it's the little things in life. It's just, it's suddenly being aware that you can sit down in a place outside, you can order someone to bring food and drinks to you, and all the better if you smile at them, notice them and have a nice time. Prince's Street in Cork looks especially class. We were talking about it last week when they were setting up very distinctive red umbrellas that you expect in the City of the Rebels. And Michael O'Sullivan tweets, oh, it's so good to be back. The goodwill for us in Clancy's and Cork, and the buzz on Cork Prince's Street is just magic. And there was footage there. I'd say the only problem they'll have is actually finding yourself a place, because it's looking after all the famous pubs, Clancy's, and is a Rossini's on Princess Street as well, famous Italian restaurant down there. So getting a seat, and it's covered. So if it is raining, so long as it's warm enough and it isn't hurricaning on you, it should be good fun. Sarah Jane Murphy asks, will the outdoor summer pass the Dr. Tony test? Great to see the reopening going so well. But the big test will come when Tony next drives into town to collect someone from work, referencing the chief medical officer there, who was concerned about last week's crowds, and turned out to be very, very warranted in the end. And the Irish Daily Star on the front page, they have a picture of a load of lads in Mayo. And this is the other side. So it was very sunny in the Midlands and over much of the country, but there were a couple of showers in the west. And you have five lads cowering under a brolly, but looking very happy because they've got pints of stout in front of them. That's in Westport in Mayo in the Towers Bar. And it looks like they're having soup and pints outside. So I think that's the only difference. If there's a bit of a shower, a bit of a skite comes along, you get soup along with it. Now, looking across the other papers, the other big story, the Irish Sun on the front page is Paul Mescal, who is everywhere. But a new twist on the story in the Irish Sun today, the man with the golden buns. What? Mescal for Bond role. And then inside we have, apparently, Paul Mescal is now one of the top favourites to land the role of next James Bond, because they haven't finished the latest Accursed Bond movie, which is Daniel Craig's, reputedly be his last, pretty much his last, really, if he ever makes it into the cinema. But apparently after he won the BAFTA the other night, the odds have been slashed. He's now one of the red hot favourites to replace Daniel Craig as James Bond, which would make a very interesting Bond, wouldn't it? Another Irish Bond. And Paul Mescal, not sure what his British accent sounds like just yet, but yeah, Bond, James, yeah, 007, Marianne, what? Yeah. And he looks dashing there, as he does. Although he does cut the distinctive look of a kind of GA lad coming home at 4 a.m. from the Debs. Doesn't he? It's a bit mean to say in his tux. I mean, he's a country lad, and it looks like he's, you know, heading to the Supermax. If they do breakfast, do they? 51551 is the text message. But the favourites apparently for Bond right now are James Norton, who you've seen in loads of things, and he's a very dull choice, I would have thought. And Tom Hardy, which I think is kind of left of field, a mumbling Bond that could be the thing. Someone else, another pair all over the press all weekend are Harry and Meghan, of course, because they've had a baby, Lilibet Diana. In Mountbatten, Windsor, to give the full title. And apparently the Irish Independent tells us today that Harry and Meghan will take several months of parental leave to spend time with their newborn daughter. The couple's decision is made in alignment with Archie Wells, which is the company that makes all of their podcasts and such and digital streaming content. It's in line with the parental leave of that company that allows 20 weeks of paid leave, which is far more generous than is normal in the US, which is barely any. Mind you, have they done very much? I mean, Netflix, Apple TV, Spotify have all signed them up. Deals worth about 100 million. And they haven't produced a lot of content, really. They haven't produced a lot of content at all. Now, Colin Farrell is out and about. And he's a guy who's having an amazing, I was going to say latter-day career, but he's only 45. And one other thing he's added to his repertoire and to his list of accolades is he's run the Brisbane Marathon. He's in Australia, where he had to do mandatory quarantine for the fortnight, severe quarantine in March, because he's making a movie filmed by Ron Howard, and it's about the Thai cave rescue there, happened a couple of years ago. Anyway, for the crack, he ran his first marathon in Brisbane and he clocked 3 hours 53 minutes, which is very good because the global average for men is 4 hours 13 minutes. Apparently his very first marathon, and the MC of the marathon gamely said, Mr. Farrell, would you like to say a few words? And he says, nah, I'm knackered, as only Colin Farrell could say and get away with. But he looks extremely well, 45 years old. He's over there making a film. And through all the struggles he's had in his life with addiction and so on, it's good to see, because it is one of those big targets that people, and one of those goals people set for themselves. So he's gone and he did it. He also, by the way, posed for photographs with fans at the finish line, which is kind of saintly, isn't it, after a marathon where you are feeling absolutely wrecked. I mean, it's well beyond the child falling asleep in the backseat of a car coming home from the beach wrecked. It's like you've no salt in your body wrecked. Anyway, that's going on there. On the issue, actually, of childhood and maternity and all of that, France is in the news today because they have passed a law to give all women in the country the right to IVF, and free IVF at that, because they were giving a free IVF treatment publicly available in France to married women and so on. But there was a loophole which meant that single women and women in same-sex partnerships were not entitled. So they've closed that now, despite protests from conservative and Roman Catholic groups who chanted slogans outside the National Assembly yesterday when they passed the law, fulfilling a promise made by President Macron in his 2017 election campaign. That feels an awfully long time ago now, when Macron was the young, upcoming, trendy president in France. And those elections, I think, are next year, are they? Or are they this year? Anyway, that's besides the point. France will join 10 other European states that fund fertility treatment for these groups, which include Britain, but the conditions and significant costs are applied to single women and lesbian couples having treatment. And it's passed everyone in France. And by the way, Ireland, of course, not publicly available here, but the plans are in place. The government promised in 2019 that they would make IVF treatment publicly available and free to those who need it. Progress is a bit slow there, and it's all because the WHO has said infertility is a disease. Now, speaking of somebody who spoke about the fertility issues, I think quite movingly, and was a real support to a lot of people, was Rosanna Davison. Of course, she had a baby last year, and she attributed, didn't she, to relaxing in the lockdown and not being so stressed about work and being stressed about the difficulties she had in becoming pregnant. Well, she has talked about going on holidays. It's all connected, you know, the staycations and everything. And she says, we don't have any trips planned because we don't know how we could manage. Packing for Sophia, who is her youngest, 18, the twins, Oscar and Hugo, are 6 months. And daughter Sophia is 18 months. And she says, just packing for the kids to go down to Wexford took a whole day. I don't know how I'd cope with packing for three babies and two dogs going on another staycation this year. And She's talking about going down to her family's home, her family's house in Wexford. And this was the bit that stood out for me because she had an emotional reunion, she says, with her grandmother, Maeve Emily de Burg, who turns 95 next month. So this is Rosanna Davison's grandmother. She's 95. She lives in the ancestral home of, I think it's Bargy Castle, but it could be Bargy Castle in County Wexford. It's a 12th century castle. And Maeve Emily lives down there, 94 now, 95 next month. She was once a spy, apparently, and involved in Cold War espionage. And I'm slightly obsessed with Maeve Emily de Burg. I also thought that Christa Berg had just plucked de Burg as a kind of a stage name. Am I going deep down into the Christa Berg mythology here? Anyway, she also says that Rosanna Davis says herself and her grandmother, now great-grandmother to her kids, they email back and forth. She's a 94-year-old email. So there must be a bit of Cold War espionage. She's straight out of a John le Carré. And she was reunited and it's all very good. And it's very, very happy times indeed. Very happy. 51551 is the text. ryan@rte.ie is the email. Oliver, I want to highlight the work done by a pair of girls who have been clearing litter by the Dodder River. This is Paddy and Goatstown. We mentioned these amazing people, Ronata from Sao Paulo, who are doing serious litter clearing. And Paddy is very, very determined to get that on air. But once again, Paddy, yes, we send out our thanks to Ronata, who is picking litter along the canal, and they're great stuff. And you're dedicated as well, Paddy. Love to have you. You think too much sun has caused confusion with the date. Is it the 8th of June? Yes, I said it was the 7th of June, which is completely wrong. You're correct. The sun is affecting me. It's the 8th of June. But you'll get that on a bank holiday. Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? It is Tuesday, the 8th of June, for the record. Other good things that are happening. The Independent and Paul O'Cornelia has telling us about all these new museums that are opening this month. Six new museums to see in Ireland, from racehorse experiences to a lesson in horology, which gives us flashbacks of John Joe on the Toy Show. Wasn't he he's Ireland's famous horologist, basically, isn't he? At the age of nine, as he was at the time. What can we do? Okay, well, Waterford City have two new museums. They're the Irish Silver Museum, which opens on the 24th of June, and the Irish Museum of Time. The latter one is the National Horological Museum, as John Joe might say, gathering some of the world's oldest watches and clocks in a Gothic-style church in Greyfriars Street. A new Freedom of Waterford ticket will include a guided walking tour, an entrance to Waterford Treasures Museums in the Viking Triangle, and it is, as I say, the oldest city in Waterford. Because remember, there's a big horology bit in the British Museum, and it's really cool if you're into that kind of thing. And just the atmosphere of being surrounded by these very, very old clocks is amazing. It's very nice that you don't have to go all the way to London. It's going to be in Waterford City. By down there, you get a nice warm bottle of Phoenix, or you can get one out of the cooler if you prefer down in Waterford. The Lights of Kerry, Valentia Island Lighthouse, is a new visitor experience. It's opening soon as well on Valentia Island, which is accessible via land, and it's done up with a 1920s feel, Paul says here on the Irish Independent, as well as a Bronze Age standing stone and 17th century Cromwellian fort on the site. It's another lovely addition to the Skellig Coast. And so if horse racing is your thing and you're into the horsey business, the Irish National Stud and Gardens in County Kildare will be familiar to you, but they've now added the Irish Racehorse Experience, a cutting edge technological way of telling a horse racing experience. And you can buy, train and ride your own horse in a virtual race, and giddy up there. You can get in there, irishnationalstud.ie, and they will be tortured listening to my lovely horse, won't they? Non-stop viral videos of people doing the scene from Father Ted, which will be with us forever and ever. It'll be as old as Newgrange by the time they're still going at it. Speaking of which, a 5 million euro refurb of the visitor centre and gateway to Newgrange and Noth in County Meath. We'll be updating the displays and state-of-the-art exhibition celebrating the megalithic art at Newth. And the entrance is free as it is. And it's very important because you can't get into the tomb in Newgrange because of social distancing and all that. It's just too small. Oh yeah, I thought this was very interesting. Dark sky parks are a big thing around the world, which is like going to a kind of a dark spot so that you can see the sky when the skies are clear at night. And in County Tyrone, the OM Dark Sky Park and Observatory is opening this year. It is Ireland's only official dark sky park, so that's opening very soon. And astronomy will meet archaeology in that very spot. Is it OM or OM? Oh, no, it's OM, darkskypark.com. You can book your tickets in there. Make sure you book your tickets as well for Newgrange. So good funds. Actually, something that's not so happy about Waterford, you might have heard it very early this morning on Morning Ireland, was the burning of pride flags in Waterford City, which had just been put up on Friday. by the city mayor there, the mayor of Waterford, Councillor Damien Gagan. And the flags were taken down over the weekend and they were burned. They were just taken and shimmied away in the night. They were burned in what the mayor said was an act of hate. And well, this is why we have Pride and Pride Month throughout the month of June. And you might be rolling your eyes at the rainbow flags going up here and there and the corporates who adopt the rainbow bits and pieces on their social media and so on. Well, you know, there is that hatred is out there. And once you have that support, you know, the support, I suppose, for LGBT plus people is now the majority, but the minority only have one recourse, and that is the hatred and the crime and wetting themselves over a flag. So they belong in the bin. Usually find them on social media these days. And unfortunately, there are too many companies, some of them with HQs in Ireland, who make a lot of money out of all of the horrible stuff that happens online. But Councillor Damien Gagan, the mayor, says he's going to put those flags up proudly and will look after them. And there's plenty of CCTV footage out there, so let's hope what's coming to them will happen indeed. Dear Oliver, this is on the text 51551. Please wish my beautiful daughter, Jean Anderson, happy birthday. She's in Melbourne, Australia. No hope of getting home. That's from her mum, Bernadette, and her dad, Aidan, and Emmett and Lucy. We miss her every day. Thank you so much, says Bernadette. Actually, something we were talking about last week with Jamie O'Connell in his book, Diving for Pearls, and it's about the people who are left behind at home as people went off to create a life for themselves. But as hard as it is to get into Australia, it's just as difficult to get out again, because if you leave, then you're going to be quarantining on both sides and you have to do the severe quarantine on the way home. So they're just, everyone's just apart at the moment, and it's sad, and stick in there. So anyway, happy birthday to Jean Anderson down there in Melbourne in Australia. But let's keep positive as we can. Zara King from Virgin Media was tweeting, looking at all the pub photos, as we all were. And, you know, she was working at the bank holiday and some of us were as well. And she obviously couldn't go and enjoy the beer gardens. And she says, you know that nature is healing when the fear of missing out, the FOMO, is back. That's true. That's the feeling. You know, you just kind of, your feeling of, we haven't had that in a very, very long time. So it's very, very good. Now, it's summery weather. It's 9:20. We're all delighted with ourselves. So dare we play The Thrills? You know, The Thrills, mid-noughties. You know, the noughties band. They were soaked in Californian sun and they were very South Dublin. They were very South Dublin. Should we? Would we? Will we? We will be judged. Yeah, why not? Good morning. That is The Thrills, of course, and One Horse Town. And love that you're playing The Thrills, says the texter. Fantastic band. I recently did a podcast on their classic So Much For Their City album. It's part of the big album show. The song brings back great memories from 2003 when I was president of UCD Students Union. Thanks for playing One Horse Town. And there's no name there, but they're identifying themselves there. Yes, it brings great memories because I was, 22 in 2003? So it was that kind of nice free summers, free spirits, just out of college and all that. And yes, I was kind of thinking, can we, it's a while since I heard them, and we really enjoy that. We enjoy that. Now, Ryan, oh, hang on, 51551 has a text. One chance. The other text says, I drove to Doolin from Newbridge to see the sunset with my wife and kids on Saturday. 6-hour round trip. Saw nothing due to low clouds. Is there a way to check this in advance of a future trip? I don't think there is. I mean, the people in Met Aaron will always tell us it's very hard to predict the weather and so on. I mean, I use the amazing app, which is very good for rainfall radar. And you can track exactly where the clouds or where the rain is, but not the cloud. And so you can have a sunny day and then the western side, you have the clouds gathering and it kind of ruins your sunset. Not, just keep the weather forecast. If it's a lovely day, sure, go down. And if you're with the people you love, sure, having a happy time anyway. And even the fights in the car are great, aren't they? When we love each other. Indeed. ryan@rte.ie. This is an email. Dear Oliver, something wonderful happened to me recently and at the same time, something not so wonderful. Although I'd say in the minds of the vast majority of your listeners, I might be being completely trivial and perhaps foolish. There's a bit of a caveat there. And then our emailer, you know, goes into receiving their first COVID vaccination, how wonderful it is, how great the staff are and everything. And then goes in for now the not so good part. When I entered the booth to receive the vaccine, the vaccinator introduced herself and her colleague and asked me the standard question. She seemed like a lovely, friendly lady, and I'm sure she didn't mean any offence. But she called out to her colleague, "Would you look at these skinny arms?" At which point her colleague did indeed turn around to have a look. The vaccinator then said to me, "You have no muscle in these arms. How am I going to get a needle into that?" I just laughed it off. I got the vaccination and headed for the seated area to wait for the required 15 minutes. As I sat there, I wondered, not for the first time, do I really look that skinny? Strange that it's the first thing that people see about me and think in some cases they can say it straight out. I also wondered, was there any comment made to someone who isn't so thin about the size of their arms during vaccination? I doubt it very much. I'm in my late 40s, happily married, with two lovely children. I don't need to think I'm attractive to all these other people. However, I don't need to be constantly reminded of my perceived inadequacies. Is this something that other skinny or thin people experience? And will it stay with me right through to old age? And that's from Michael. And look, Michael, you have absolutely a valid point here. You shouldn't be made to feel inadequate or have your confidence chipped away by people who don't know you, don't know what's going on in your life, and they should know better than to be making fun of how you look. But perhaps there's a human error here, and it sounds like you have a very happy, joyful life. So maybe you can mark this down as a disappointment, one of those disappointments, and one that you're not going to let get you down. But if there is anyone else out there who is the subject of skinny shaming, do let us know if it's a recurring problem. 51551. We'll take a break. Now, just in response to the gentleman who emailed us after being skinny shamed at a vaccination centre of all places, here's one for you. Some years ago, while looking at the dessert menu in a restaurant, the waitress said to me, "I'd say you never eat a dessert in your life," says Mary in West Waterford. I totally agree with this man. I'm naturally thin. I find it hard to put on weight. People always comment on how thin I am and how lucky that is. You wouldn't tell anyone that they're too big. It's so annoying. Someone else says, "I've been writing that letter for years. I too am petite in size. I'm in my 50s. I've got thin arms. People can be very past remarkable. One of those these days, I will return the comment to them, read what I think about their arms or their body, etc. People, keep what you think is a nice comment or compliment about a thin person to yourself," says M. Yes, if you don't have anything nice to say, and so on. That's it for today. Damien O'Reilly is next. He's in for Claire Byrne, and that's after 10. Good morning.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.